Lord, may your word illuminate our lives today. Amen. How good a sailor are you? I always thought I was pretty rubbish. I've been known to feel seasick on the flattest, shortest ferry crossing. But a good few years ago, I was a holiday down in Devon. It was a good few years ago. I was with my mum, so we decided to go on a boat trip from Brixham Harbour round the coast and up the River Dart. Booked the seats the day before, turned up at the quay ready for a nice, calm trip. The skipper, who was a proper sea dog, as I recall, had a warning word for us. It's a bit choppy out on the harbour. It was a little breezy and grey, but the forecast was promising. We decided it wouldn't be too bad and climbed aboard. Let me tell you, that skipper had a gift of understatement. The boat wasn't huge, the waves were massive. We pitched and yawed, tossed and turned, up and down. All of the people on the boat were turning a lovely shade of green. More than one bucket was needed. Me, I was fine. I felt a little apprehensive that we might get swamped, but I managed to retain my breakfast. When we eventually reached our destination, the skipper asked if anybody wanted to catch the bus back to Brixham instead of risking the return leg. The weather was certainly a bit more promising, but a lot of people decided not to risk parting with their lunch. So it was a smaller group who assembled for the return trip. The ones who wimped out missed a treat. The sea was flat calm. The sun sparkled on little rippling waves. And we were able to get close into the coast to see the birds and an occasional seal. It was spectacular. A little miracle, I suppose. In today's readings, we see the power of Jesus to work miracles. His authority over creation, over the spiritual realm, and finally, over sin. This is the point of Matthew's narrative here. He's been showing Jesus at work healing people, commending their faith, with story after story of his power, his authority. Before I go further into the three stories we read today, I think we need to understand what we mean when we talk about the authority of Jesus. When we use the word authority today, there are two main contexts. The authority that governments exercise, whether they are democracies or dictatorships, governments hold authorities. They have the backing, the control of armies, militias, police forces, navies, the people who can enforce and maintain control. Authority belongs to them because they have the power to implement their will if necessary. People in general follow the rules because they know the consequences. This may be unspoken and unacknowledged. We rationalise it, saying we agree that democratically elected governments rule our lives. But ultimately, it comes down to power. That's not the authority Jesus wields. Jesus' kingdom, Jesus' rule, is based on peace. His kingdom is one of peace, not backed by threats or intimidation, no matter how veiled these are. The other way we often use authority is when describing somebody with great learning and wisdom about a subject. Tom Wright is an authority on the New Testament. David Attenborough is an authority on our planet's ecology. Pep Guardiola is the authority on football. I can sense you were all agreeing with that one. People who speak with authority. They know, we know what they're saying is right. Their words have weight, meaning. That's a lot more like the authority that Jesus has. Do you remember what it says in Matthew 7? When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. The words of Jesus are powerful. He knows what he's talking about. He speaks unequivocally, with certainty, because of who he is. That is the authority we willingly acknowledge, the authority of God, who is one of us, knows us, and despite knowing us, loves us. So the first story. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Jesus was looking to get away after a busy day. He got into a boat with his disciples and set out across the Sea of Galilee. The boat was probably about 8 metres or 25 feet long in old money. Would have held about 15 people. An archaeological team recently discovered the remains of a boat from 2,000 years ago in the area of Galilee. So we have an idea of the size and construction of the craft then. If you Google this boat, you can find pictures. And it's fascinating and quite moving to think that you're looking at the type of boat that Jesus would have been in. Jesus was familiar with. He was sailing across the lake in. They got in the boat and the storm sprang up. And I have this on the great authority of Wikipedia, that the Sea of Galilee is prone to sudden and violent storms. Something to do with high ground, cool air, warm air meeting. A bit like why Manchester is wet. Galilee's not really a sea. There are a lot bigger lakes around the world. But it is a significant body of water. About 10 times bigger than Lake Windermere. A boat caught in a storm would be a fair way from the safety of the shore. Even with a crew of experienced sailors, like the disciples. A storm sprang up. And where was Jesus? Asleep. Good sailor as I may be, I don't think I could sleep during a storm at sea in a 25-foot boat. But Jesus did. And what does that tell us? Two things. Jesus was human. He got tired and needed to rest, just like you do. After a busy day, you and I feel the benefit of a good night's sleep. So did Jesus. He had been busy. He'd spoken, healed, walked around. He was sleeping the sleep of one worn out by an intense life, involving constant strain on mind and body. But it also shows Jesus' inner peace and trust. He had a lack of worry because of his trust, his confidence, his complete dependence upon God. He was able to sleep even through the storm because he was totally trusted and was in tune with his heavenly Father. When the disciples woke him up, he replied, "You have little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up, rebuked the wind and waves, and he was completely calm. First thing he did was remind his disciples that they should have faith like he had faith. Hadn't they just seen him working miracles, miracles of healing? They'd seen the power of God at first hand. They should know. They should learn from him, learn to trust God. He was asleep, fully trusting God. They should follow his example. But then he acknowledged that their fears were valid. He had spoken to them, but he rebuked the storm. Was there something supernaturally evil about the storm? Some people have written that there is. There was an opportunity for the force of evil to do damage to Jesus and his disciples all at once. An opportunity too good to miss. Jesus spoke. The storm ceased raging. The rest of the people in the boat were stunned. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even in the wind and the waves obey him. In story two, in a minute or two, we get the answer to that question. What kind of man is this? But if you look in Psalm 89, there's a clue. "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord Almighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them." In this, the first of today's three stories, Jesus has authority over creation, over nature. The storm was stilled by his voice. Peace was restored. The peace of God came to Galilee and the disciples. What he created, he can command. The second story is one we find with some variations in other Gospels. Jesus meets two demon-possessed men, two violent, dangerous men who lived cast out from society among the graves. They were unclean. In a similar way to the lepers, living among the dead made them ritually unclean to the Jews. The men came out of the tombs, shouting and raging. And immediately they answered the disciples' question, "What kind of man is this?" The men shout, "What do you want with us, Son of God. They recognize who Jesus is, the Son of Almighty God. They know straight away, even if the disciples don't. We struggle with the idea of demons. The biblical understanding of the spiritual world is much different to ours. However you want to think of this, the men or the demons recognized the authority Jesus carried. The story says the demons begged to be cast into the pigs. There must have been a Gentile presence for there to be such a large herd of pigs around. The Jews wouldn't have had a herd of pigs around. The alternative to that was facing Jesus, Son of God. So Jesus demonstrates his authority in a single word, go. Just said one word, go, soaked in power. And it all changed. These demons moved to the animals. The consequence was once again peace. Peace for the men who could now be restored to society. But Jesus' authority was also scary. The locals begged him to leave them alone, move away from their region. People's reaction to Jesus is not always awe, respect, or worship. He challenges the status quo, people's settled lives, people who are comfortable and don't want to change. We may recognize this as a challenge for our times when trying to tell others about Jesus. His authority may be unwelcome. People may want to carry on with their lives without being challenged to change or to accept that there's a higher authority than Facebook or fake news. In the third story, Jesus heals a paralyzed man. The man's friends bring him to Jesus to be healed. Their hope is that Jesus will unlock his limbs and free him to move, to restore him to a full life. But does Jesus say you are healed? No. He says to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Of course, we know, we are well aware, that because of who he is, Jesus absolutely has the power to forgive sins. The demon-possessed men shouted his name, Son of God. But there we have the benefit of the whole story. Some of the crowd there began muttering against Jesus, that he was blaspheming, claiming to have power that belonged only to God. From our perspective, they look foolish, difficult, and we judged them. But would we have been any different? Would we have looked for more evidence? Would we be so set in our beliefs that we couldn't see a different, a better way? Jesus knows their hearts. He challenges them. How do you hear his voice, his tone? Was he challenging, giving a critical scolding? Was it an explanation, trying to make them understand who he was and why he had the power to forgive? What was Jesus thinking? Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But the overall message is here. The Son of Man, one of Jesus' common names for himself, the Son of Man can forgive. He has authority from the Father to forgive. No matter what the Jewish teachers think, Jesus can forgive. Accept it or don't. It is the truth. For the man on the mat, Jesus addressed his condition. He's not saying his paralysis was caused by his sin. That was the common belief. If you were ill, you were out of favor with God. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Because forgiveness of sins was much more important than physical healing. Being restored to full, lasting relationship with God is the single most important healing in anyone's life. At the end of these three stories, the shape of Jesus' ministry is becoming obvious. The opposition to his teaching and his message from the Jewish establishment. His preaching forgiveness leads him to the cross. So, in these three stories, Jesus shows us his authority, He has authority, power, control, authority over illness. He brings healing and peace to uneasy people. Over creation, he brings stillness and peace to the storm-whipped sea. Over the spiritual world, he commands powers of everlasting truth and hope. He brings peace to two very troubled men in a hillside graveyard. And today, Jesus has that same authority over our lives to bring healing, stillness, peace, hope, and a new future, an everlasting relationship with God. What do you need from him today? Bring to Jesus your illness, your doubts, your troubles, your worries. He has authority to give you peace in the storm. I know when I go through turbulence of my life, when I try to do it on my own, it weighs heavy on my shoulders. It affects my heart, my peace, my mental health. But if going through it, I give it to Jesus, it doesn't always disappear. The trouble remains, but it doesn't burden me. Prayer lifts the pressure and lets me see, no matter where I am headed, what trouble awaits, what storms are on my horizon, I have a hope. A hope that comes from trusting the authoritative word of Jesus. The peace that let a man sleep on the planks of a storm-tossed boat. So listen to the words of Jesus. Go. Worries, you don't have the authority in my life. Be still. Storms won't distract me or divert me from following Jesus' way. You are forgiven. The most important and blessed words I have ever heard. Jesus is waiting for you to hear his voice. Are you listening?